I've been sitting around letting her take care of him. Cheryl said, now, Daddy, let her do some things, all right? Because you've been doing everything. Let her take care of you. Let her do this today. She gave me an ultimatum. Better hurry up and get well. It's getting over it. Me. We've had the best time today visiting, seeing old friends and rejoicing around the Lord. But I was thinking last night as I was studying the Word of God of the men, especially, that I have been associated with in the ministry or been around in the ministry that served the Lord so faithfully, and God used them, and God gave them great talent. One particular man that I'm thinking of, God gave such a talent for preaching the Word of God and writing sermons and books about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got entangled in sin, and the Lord just set him on a shelf. I mean, just quit using him altogether. He got out of the ministry. And I think about him a great deal. He preached in revivals all across this country. And just a great guy in the Lord. And yet, just because he forgot that what you got is a gift from God. It's not something that you conjure up when it comes to serving the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about getting saved. We're saved by the grace of God, all right? It has nothing to do with us. Jesus did it all. But when it comes to serving the Lord, giving everything we got to serve the Lord, that's a gift. And God gives us those gifts. I know many times that I went and heard great preachers. Like Dr. Harold Sott, I went to hear him and was around him a great deal when I was a younger preacher. And I'd rather hear him preach than anything in the world. I mean, James chapter 4 by 9, and why he said by 9, I never have understood that, but the way he would say things just thrilled my soul just listening to him preach. Dr. Adrian Rogers, before he went to be the Lord, is one of the greatest teachers on the book of Revelation you'll ever hear and study behind, and one of my heroes. And I think about these great men, and I think about the gifts of God. Now, I want you to look at something with me tonight. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 17. As I was praying with Brother Boyce before we left today, it hit me. Everything is not just right in our life all the time. We're sick, we're ill, we have good times, bad times. But look at what is. I was praying, Lord, touch Brother Boyce. You can do it with just a touch. Or you could use medication. Or you could use a doctor's wisdom. Whatever you choose to do, Lord, to heal him, we would thank you for it because we understand something. And I quoted this verse to him, or part of it. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, I do believe this. I know people that go to the doctor, they go to the hospital for curing of their ailments, and they rely on the doctor, or they rely on some kind of medicine. Now, I just simply believe that the medication, the doctor's wisdom, everything that has to do with healing your body comes from God. He gives them the wisdom. They wouldn't even be doctors. They wouldn't be those that invented the doctor of medication to help you if God didn't give them the wisdom to do it. And so I believe that every good gift and every perfect gift is from God. Now, John 10, verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So, number one, if you look at it, God gives salvation or eternal life. James chapter 1, verse 5, God gives wisdom to those who ask for it. Now, the Bible tells us that God gives us many gifts. And I've seen many a person throw away his life, that life that was bright with prospects of greatness. I've seen the talents lost all because of sin. I've seen strong go down in laziness and defeat. I know two or three people who were educated, eloquent in speech, and possessing wonderful personalities. And by the way, those are all gifts of God. And when you realize that, and they wrote several books, they preached in great revivals across this country, then they threw away their life, or those gifts, because of sin in their life. Now, notice the message is the wise use of God's gifts tonight. You better remember this, the world is not your friend. The flesh and the devil will give you no help. The devil wants you to waste your life. The world will help you throw it all away, and your talents will be wasted, and the flesh will accept the way of sin. Just three things real quickly. The misuse of God's gifts. Now, God gives us gifts, but we in our weakness misuse His gifts. I hate to tell this in one sense, but yesterday we went over to Elizabeth, and here said two of these fellows that were here this morning, and they were one of them playing a banjo and the other playing a guitar, and it carried me back years ago. I was trying to learn how to play a guitar, and I was singing in a bar, and I'd just go in there with a friend of mine that could play a guitar, and we just singing for the fun of it. And I thought about it a many time. I wonder what would have happened to me if I'd have had a gift of singing and a gift of playing a guitar. I wonder where I'd be. Would I be serving the Lord with it? Or would I be singing in bars all across the country? I've thought about that a many time. Now, I thank God, and I do believe playing an instrument, musical talents, is a gift of God. But I've always thought back on my life, what would I have done with those gifts that God gave me? Now, I want you to watch something. God gives us Bible examples. Samson, in Judges 13, verse 24, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Now, think about that for just a second. Then chapter 14, verse 19, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Samson had a great God-given strength. Samson had a faith in the living God. But Samson misused those God-given gifts. He became rebellious, and then the end came. His eyes were put out by the Philistines and were made to grind in the prison house. And the only redeeming picture of Samson is in the closing life of his life, as he pulled down the temple upon all those Philistines and killed them in one suicidal act. People all the time tell me, or ask me the question, can anybody that commits suicide go to heaven, preacher? Samson is a picture of it. Amen. He pulled down the temple on himself. That's suicide. It has nothing to do with you killing yourself or not killing yourself. It has to do with you receive Christ or you reject Christ as your Savior. But what's so sad about Samson's life is he had such a great gift that he could have used for God, and he misused it, and he ended up committing suicide. David misused the gifts of God. David is so blessed and gifted of God, David wrote the majority of the Psalms, which have been blessed for millions that read them. He was musically inclined. He played a harp. He had great wisdom. He was king of Israel. He had great military mind, a great soldier. But David fell into sin with Bathsheba, and every time Samson's name is brought up, it's in relation to Delilah, and every time David's name is brought up, it's brought up with Bathsheba. Think about that. Tremendous gifts of God thrown away, misused. Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived, or the wisest man that ever lived, misused the gifts of God. He was given great wisdom. He was a great king. God used Solomon to write the Proverbs and the Song of Solomon and the Bible. Yet Solomon misused the gifts of God. And know what the Bible says of him at the end of his life. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. I heard an old preacher one time said he wasn't very wise to get that many mother-in-laws. And his wives turned away his heart for a chance to pass. Now watch this. When Solomon's old and his wives turned his heart away from God unto other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. What an epithet. Great man. And yet he threw it away. Hezekiah, I told Brother Mike before the church, I said, what if you was dying and the doctor said you're dying? And somebody prayed for you, you prayed for yourself, and God answered the prayer and gave you 15 more years to live. Now you knew you were going to die, but yet you prayed and God gave you 15 more years to live. That's what happened to Hezekiah. He was dying. God said, this diet thy soul is required of thee. And he turned his face to the wall and prayed for healing. And God healed him. He said, I'll give you 15 more years to live. And you read that story of Hezekiah and you think, well, my goodness, if God give me 15 more years to live and I knew I was dying, I'd serve the Lord for the rest of my 15 years. Hezekiah didn't. He turned away from the Lord. Again, Ananias and Sapphira misused the gifts of God. God blessed them because they had wealth. They had the opportunity to have fellowship with God's people and further the gospel. And that's what the story's about, by the way. But they misused God's gift when they lied to the Holy Spirit. And because of that, they both died instantly. Several years ago in North Tampa, there came a severe tornado. I was on my way to work. I came across where it had struck. I stopped to help one lady with her leg torn off and her laying on a door. But the strangest thing I've ever seen was the front door of her house standing untouched. And it seemed, and inside there was nothing left. I'll never forget that sight as long as I live. Here's this woman laying out there with her leg torn off, her house gone, and there stands a door right by itself. Now, some people are like that door. Their works, their looks, their manners are delightful, but their hearts are empty. They're not allowed the Lord to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The curse of the misused life. I read a story of a preacher who was asked by a heartbroken mother to visit her son in the penitentiary. She gave the preacher his photograph with a letter and said, will you show him my picture? He never answers my letters. Maybe this will touch his heart. The preacher went to the prison. The young man was brought in under guard. And when the preacher gave him his mother's picture, he said without emotions, yes, that's my mother. Her hair is more gray, but yes, that's my mother. Then he handed the picture back, along with a letter, which he refused to read. He said in a voice full of all bitterness, when you see her again, return these. I don't want them. It was in my mother's house I played the first game of cards. And it was she who gave me my first drink of beer. Those two things, drinking and gambling, have put me here for 15 years. And now she sends me a picture with belated love. Take them back and tell her I hate her and her religion she possesses. What a wasted life. Amen. Every time I read that story, and it's a true story, I said all that to simply say this, you better be careful how you misuse the gifts of God. The wise use of God's gift. When you study the Bible, you'll see that God has given us so many wonderful gifts. And I'm going to hurry to say them real quickly. God gives us, number one, the gift of salvation. Amen. Did you ever stop to think how wonderful it is to be? I got that when I was preaching this morning. I got overwhelmed of just the being thankful just to be saved by God's grace. I think about it all the time. I see so many people, and especially lately that I've been watching the news of these going down to the beach, and I go over on the west side of Tampa to get a hamburger every once in a while. Those people over there, they don't care. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. When it comes to God, they're interested in one thing, just having a good time. And I was thinking about then, I said, isn't it wonderful just to be saved and to know it? That's a gift of God. Don't misuse it. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, well, grace you say through faith. Amen. I thank God for his grace. Charlie Hall spent years with me on the streets preaching. And I never will forget it. Charlie was just a simple guy. I mean, he was a carpenter, and I was a mason. And that's how we got to know one another after we got saved, working around one another. But he wouldn't let me rest. He'd come get me. I'd go home from laying blocks all day, and he'd come by. Come on, Brother Strong, we got to go witnessing. And we'd go on Saturdays. And Charlie built a little chapel on wheels. I mean, it had the little pews in it and little pulpit, and we'd pull that thing behind the truck. We'd go down in places, and he'd park right in the middle of the street. He didn't care. And he'd start hollering, hey, come on, come on. I'm going to preach a little bit. Come on down. All you children, come on down. And he'd fill that little chapel full of little kids. And it ended up, we'd have grown-ups come poking their head in the window to see what was going on. And he would hand them candy and everything else to get them to come. But then he would use a little wordless book. And I mean, most of y'all know what the little wordless book is. But I've thought about that a many times. You take the book, and the different colors represents plan of salvation in it. Now, the only reason I was telling you that is this. Charlie being a simple man. But look at the talent. Or look, he used the talent that he had to preach the gospel to all those little kids and all those men and women. And what a blessing to watch it. And he used words. My daughter asked Mary today, how you getting along with Dad? Are you beginning to understand him a little bit? And she said, well, I'm beginning to understand that West Florida language. She said, every once in a while, you'll say, way up yonder. She'll understand what all that means one of these days. But going back to Charlie, that made me think about Charlie, how simple he was, the language he had. He didn't know great preaching. He didn't have great wisdom in the Bible. But he knew how he got saved. And he shared it with everybody else. That's the wise use of gifts. Secondly, in the wise use of God is the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank God, like I said this morning, I have the witness of the Holy Spirit in me that lets me know I'm saved. Amen. Thirdly, we have the gift of peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. We need that wise use of the gift of God of peace in our hearts. Dr. D.L. Moody used to tell, about a scene on a battlefield during the war between the states. And ministering to the wounded and dying, he came to a soldier and passed him by because he was motionless then. Then he saw a hand move slightly and turned back to him. He lifted up his head, wet his lips, and asked the soldier if there was anything he could do for him. In faint tones, he answered, get the book out of my pocket and read it to me. Moody took a testament out of the soldier's pocket, opened it, and asked, what shall I read? Read the 14th chapter of John. Moody began. The soldier's eyes closed. Moody read on and on. When he came to the words, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The soldier opened his eyes and said, that will do, chaplain. I have that peace. Amen. I'm so glad I got the peace of God in me today. Fourthly, the Bible is a gift of God. Every time I open this book and I look at it and I read it and I thank God that God reserved this, God preserved this book. I got it in my hand, the Word of God. I got a sermon called, does God speak to us today? Yes, He does. Right out of this old book. Amen. And I read it all the time. We are to use it wisely. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me when I came. Mine to tell me what I am. Mine to tell of joys to come and the rebel sinner's doom. Oh, thou holy book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Then fifthly, God has given us the gift of opportunity. God helps us to use every opportunity we have for the Lord. I thank God. I want to know when anybody's sick in our church. I want to visit every time I can anybody's sick. That's an opportunity. That's not trouble to me. That's an opportunity to me to do something for the Lord. Pray for them. Even today, we had an unusual thing. I went down there to death. I can't remember, like, oh, I never have been able to. But anyway, I went down there to death, and I asked the guy at the desk. I said, I'm Pastor LeDuc Strong. I want to know where John Smith is at. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I hate to go in here and ask for John Smith. They're going to think I'm crazy. But I said, I don't know what room John Smith is in. And he said to her, he's down in the emergency room. Mr. Strong's down in the emergency room. And I said, is one of my kin people in here down in the emergency room? And the man said, LeDuc Strong's down in the emergency room. I said, that was 2 days ago or 3 days ago I was down there. They still hadn't took me off the records. I'm still down there. I said, I'm not looking for me. Here I am. Amen. And I thought about myself. And so he told, we said, I don't know what room John Smith is in. So we went up to room so-and-so, and we knocked on the door and went on in. The man said, come on in. We went on in. I think John Smith. It was Joshua Smith or something. And I said, sir, I'm sorry, but they give me the wrong number. I said, wait a minute. This is not the wrong number. I said, let me ask you something. If you was to die, do you know you're saved? He said, I'm so glad you came. And he thanked us for coming by and seeing him. And he said, I know I'm saved. He said, he told me when he got saved. Now, in that, you say, that was an accident. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was an opportunity. And I believe that. That's a gift of God. God has given us the gift of time. Think about it. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know what that means? Use every bit of the time you got for God's glory. Time is not wasted when we pray. Time is not wasted when we worship God. Time is not wasted when we study God's Word. Time is not wasted when we meditate upon the goodness of God. Time is wasted when we get involved in sin. God has given us the precious thing called time, and we need to use it wisely. First, give thanks to God for His gifts. Second, share those gifts with others. Thirdly, tell others about God's unspeakable gift, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, lastly, the reward for faithfulness. I thank God there's a reward waiting on us. Amen. Now, we need to ask the question of the song. Must I go and empty-handed, thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give. Lay no trophy at His feet. Must I go empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet Him. Must I empty-handed go? Man, I think about gifts, and I'm so, so blessed of God. I know I'm an old country boy, and I want to do more, and I want to have a better voice. I want to preach greater. I want to sing better. I want to witness better. I want better results than what I got, but I thank God for what I got. Amen? And He is good to us. Stand with me, please. Father, bless us as we use the gifts that You've given us. Whatever gift we have, we got some, because You said You give to every man according to his need. And Father, I pray that You'll help us to learn to use the gifts of God every day of our life and be thankful for each gift that we do have. Bless us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sing something, Lord, please.
Hymn number 230. Hymn number 230. Farther along,
amen.
We'll know all about it. This is an unusual hymn for an invitation, but I thought it would be good for tonight.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested.
Sick, they wasn't here today, call them. Just tell them we missed them. And we pray and they'll get well. Invite them back. Father, go with us this week. Give us other opportunities to witness to people, to be a blessing to somebody for the blessings You've been to us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you so much for being here.